We just want to praise God, because the idea of faithfulness and the Father, if you look through Scripture, the character, and this can be good, bad, or indifferent, the character of the children, the DNA that forms the character, comes from the Father. That's one of the reasons Jesus couldn't have an earthly father. It had to be His heavenly Father's DNA that came and was placed in Him. So I guess that gives ladies an excuse to, you know, say, well, you know, not my fault. But it also doesn't give them bragging rights when they do something good. Yes, it's more like an I told you so. And the idea of that, you know, it comes from Scripture. And the whole idea of what happens, how God, we were talking in Bible study about the story of the prodigal, and how much different repentance is than restoration. Repentance isn't necessarily restoration. We were talking about that. But God gets to do what He wants to do. And we're going to look a little bit at that in the story of Abraham. It isn't that Abraham wasn't a good man, but God totally changed him, including his name. So let's bow our heads before we go anywhere else. Father, we just want to praise Your name, and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that, Father, You have called us here for the specific purpose of lifting up Your Son. We also know that human words, human wisdom, human strength is incapable of accomplishing this. So annihilate the servant and resurrect Yourself, Your Son, and Your Spirit, so that Your Son can be lifted up, so that Your Spirit can be poured out, so that You can be glorified. Accomplish that, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abram. And in verse 1, He says, "The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The whole idea of this blessing, you have to remember that the name Abram means restorer of peace, or bringer of peace, but a peacemaker. Abram was not one who liked confrontation. He always wanted to make peace. And you see that he lived up to his name when it came to choosing the land. He made peace with Lot. "You choose whichever you want, I'll take the other." It got him into trouble sometimes when he went down into the land of Egypt. He didn't want confrontation, so he didn't exactly tell the truth about who his wife was. And the idea of what takes place with Abram is this idea, okay, I have called you to live up to your name, to be the one who brings peace. And so he's saying to men, you know, if I ask you to do something, do it. I have called you. Adam's sin, as Jay pointed out, was He didn't become the head of the house. He became the blockhead. He didn't stand up for what he was supposed to stand, what he was called to do. He was supposed to be the intercessor, the warrior. And instead of being the head of the house, God says, I want you to be the head, not the blockhead. Not just to get involved when you feel like it or when it's convenient. Abram was a peacemaker. But the problem was, he wasn't a principled peacemaker. And God was going to be changing all that. Because every week we read what God's plan is. I have a plan for you. My plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. He says, after you accept my plan, then you will seek me. Then you will talk to me. And then I will recognize it. And that's what happens. Sometimes, people, it takes a long time for people to come around and do it. And that was the case of Abraham. Abraham was not Abraham until he was in his 90s. He was Abram. He made peace. You know what I think you should do? I think you should date Hagar. Rather than say, you know what? I have a promise from God. He made peace. He became what his name was. If you want peace in the house, you better listen, he thought. And so he did that. And then in chapter 13, it says, after the Lord separated him, the Lord said to him, look from the place where you are, look north and south and east and west, in verse 14, for I will give you and your offspring forever all the land you see. God is saying, if you will be this peacemaker, men, what we need to learn is don't do what God hasn't asked you to do. We talked about that last week in the book of Acts, the idea of what the Spirit asks you to do. We talked about it, how the Spirit, don't you go choosing what your call is. God called Abraham, and then he will change it, Abraham's call later. He made the promise early, but it wasn't fulfilled early. He tried to do it his way by not having confrontation. Sometimes we would rather have peace on earth and goodwill toward men because we don't feel God's presence now. And yet, what he meant by Abram is peace with God. This idea of, can you rest with who you are? Can you shave? Of course, Hebrews didn't have that problem. They didn't have to look in the mirror every day and see themselves. Can you look at who you are and live with yourself? And the idea of that, he who brings peace, is the Hebrew analogy of he who is upright. Someone who can live with themselves. See, you can leave, you can divorce, you can separate, you can move halfway around the world. So there are people that you never want to deal with again. You can move to another state. You can move to another country. But someone always goes with you, and that's you. If you can't live with you, you have a tough row to hoe, man. You have to be able to live with you. And so Abram, even though he made peace, he was never at peace. because he made peace with man and had no peace with God. He's called a great man of faith, and I know Alice and I talked about this a little at times. How can you be called a great man of faith when you lie and say your wife is your sister, when you have a child by your wife's servant? How can that be a great man of faith? Because he made peace. He lived up to his name, just not as God intended. And sometimes, man, God will give us a gift and we won't use it the way God intended. Doesn't mean you won't be blessed later. It just takes a lot longer. A lot longer. What he gives you, he wants you to use for his glory. Abraham used it for his benefit, not for God's glory. He was able to have on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a marriage 5. That means they weren't divorcing, but he wasn't a godly example. He should have said, you know what? Before my family and before my God, I took you, Sarah, as my wife, not Hagar. Lord only knows how cold it would have been in that tent in Israel that night. But the Lord also knows how warm Abraham's heart would be. The idea of being a father comes from this idea of being principled. He was a man who brought peace, was supposed to bring peace. There is Abraham, the peacemaker. Nobody debated that. But then, because he did do what he was told, God changes his name in chapter 17. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him saying, verse 1, 17, I am God Almighty. Live in my presence and be devout. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly. Now remember, Abraham is 99. That makes Sarah 90. And later Sarah will laugh. It says, then Abraham fell to the ground, and God spoke, as for me, my covenant is with you, and you will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be the peacemaker, but will be the father of multitudes. Changes his name. Even misplaced, the idea of the disciples, we've talked about this, they did something. It wasn't exactly what God wanted when they cast lots and came up with Matthias, but they did something. Abraham was doing something. He was doing the best. Look, my name's to bring peace, God. I'm supposed to bring peace. Sometimes the best way to bring peace, I believe Polly said last week about Ian, he's allergic to the devil, is to annihilate the enemy. And the enemy can come in many ways. That's why God, in his initial call, said, I'm calling you from your country, from your relatives, and it's to be me and you, Abraham. So you have to have a life that is principled. Fathers need to be principled. It can't change with every wind of doctrine. Fathers, you know, like I said, Abraham tried to make earthly peace, and God knew. He knew he was trying. He did what people wanted. He gave Lot the best. He gave Sarah the best he could do, at least in his mind. He was really trying to live what God called him to do. As mistaken as it was, he still tried to do it. And because of his faithfulness to try to do that, God says, you know what? I'm going to make you a father of multitudes. But God changed things a little. He didn't trust him with multitudes, because he had already trusted him with peace, and he saw how well that worked. But when God makes a covenant, which he did, that he would be the father of many, God will not break his multitude. Men, what we're supposed to learn is, it may not be as the original plan. You may have to go around another way. And if you don't believe me, ask Aaron Monroe when he's coming home and they block the road and you have to go around another way. But you can get there. And things may happen on the other way, on the other way home. If you don't believe me, look at the front end of his car. But it doesn't mean you abort the mission just because things aren't going as planned. One of the things we respect about Aaron so much is the idea that failure may be in his vocabulary, but quitting is not. Okay, I can't get there this way. I remember last summer, 3 or 4 summers he went to Ohio, but his goal was to get Dylan and Jesse to go, to ride that roller coaster. And Jesse chose not to. That's fine. But he and Dylan went. And I'm thinking to myself, can't is not in his vocabulary. He is going to make some woman a good warrior someday. Until that day, we are blessed to have him as a spiritual father to our young people. He is a man of principle. He is a man of conviction. I would say a man of direction. Well, with his GPS, he's a man of direction. That's his God positioning system. Yeah. So even though he doesn't have his own children, we're all blessed by his relationship with God as a spiritual father. How many of you worry when they say, my child's with Aaron? Oh my goodness, what is going on? You're at peace. You're at peace. Why? Because he's a man of principle. Abraham gets his name, father of many. And I'm going to do it through one, Isaac. Isaac. He couldn't. That may not have been God's original plan. And I don't know what would have happened had Hagar and Ishmael not come on the scene. But I don't know what would have happened if Adam said, you know what, Eve? You blew it. I'm not joining them. We don't know what would have happened, but we know God didn't stop. Our Heavenly Father never stopped and hasn't stopped today. Fathers, our young people have to know that a father won't stop. They just won't stop. The stories told of the Civil War right downtown Fredericksburg here, where one of the men in the area, his son, went to war. And every night he would walk among the wounded down on the hill downtown with a lantern, calling his son's name, because he knew one day his son would probably end up wounded. He was fighting in the area. He didn't know where. And they say, as the story goes, many times he would hear the wounded men, as he would minister to them, say, "I wish I had a father who would come looking for me." Our young people need to know that their fathers will come looking for them, that they will be faithful. That's where Abraham was. He was that faithful. He might have not done everything right, and I don't know about other fathers, but I know I've not done everything right. But our children need to know, our young people need to know, our life givers, our wives need to know that they can come and there will be somebody there. There will be somebody who's faithful. Father's Day is about faithfulness. That's what Calvary screams out. Abraham got to this place where he has one child and still believed somehow at age 99. What, age 99, he got the promise. He was 100 years old and having a child. That would have made Sarah 90 or 91 by the time she gave birth. There were no birthing centers. Has to raise that child starting at age 90. You wonder, what does God expect of his faithful followers? Men, he expects you to be faithful. Women, he expects you to be supportive. He expects you to be the Ezras, the life givers. Even, have you ever seen a mother, when a child gives a performance, say, "That was the worst thing I ever saw in my life"? They say, "Good job, honey. You really did good. No problem doing it there." But God says, that's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do to your warrior. Not just to your offspring, but to your warrior. Whether they're a warrior or not, let's face it, most young people, when they do their first concert, are not perfect, but we don't say that was horrible. You build them up. And men, we need to be Abrahams in the sense that even though we're not doing it right, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. I've even said to Aaron sometimes, don't you ever give up. Yeah. It's time, Aaron, to give up. And he'll go, I know you're right. And then he doesn't give up and goes out there and does it again. And that's why I said to Polly, and she said, look at all these young people. I said, it's because of Aaron. Our Abraham, our Aaron, our father figure to our young people. And a friend to our young people. We don't know what these young people talk to him about, but they trust him. They trust him. What an Abraham figure. And if we do that, you know, this Father's Day, we need to understand that there is, we're living in a time in our country's history like no other time. you have no idea what you're waking up to in the morning. Things are changing rapidly, politically, spiritually. Just last month, they lost the child abuse case out west where the parents wanted to take the child to church. And social services came in and said that was child abuse to make a child go to church. We live in a changing world. In Florida, just a couple years ago, teenage children were divorcing their parents. Some parents might celebrate. But the point is, we need people. We need men. It isn't just the Marines that are looking for a few good men. God is looking for a few good men. Because Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. Where do our young men, our Dylan, Jesse's, Tyler, and Allen's, where do they find iron to say, I want to be principled. I want to be like. People grow up today and say, I don't want to be like my parents were. I won't raise my children the way my parents raised me. That's what they're saying. I don't want to be them. Where do they go? We need some Abrahams. Not perfect, but faithful. Because he says, then you will find me. Then you will see me. Aaron Monroe's. Fathers, I'm not saying that you need to be perfect. What I am saying is you need to be faithful. Hold on to God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will guide you. Isaiah chapter 30 says he will get you to the place where he will say, this is the way, walk in it. It may not make sense, but he will say it. Fathers have to get to that place. Men, for too long, have been standing on the sideline. Let's face it. When Jesus made what they call his triumphal entry, he didn't do it on a show horse. He did it on a jackass. That's what he's looking for, people. A beast of burden. Someone who's willing to get the job done. Not someone people go, whoa. He's not looking to Hollywood. He's looking in all the small churches across the country, in all the big churches across the country. He's looking in homes, and he says, there's a faithful man there. He needs to bring a young man alongside and mentor him. Iron sharpens iron. You get right with Jesus. You be faithful to Jesus and let the young people, see you stand for principles, not cave in to every whim of the world. Well, we can't do that. We can't do this. We can't do, we'll get in trouble if we do that. What would have happened? The man now, the inspector general, that was fired this past week. Illegally, but he was fired. He was on TV the other night. He says, I know I'm going to lose. But I have to do what's right. I know I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose everything. Jesus. But if I don't stand up now, I'll never be able to live with myself. And I go back to our founding fathers. And with this, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, our character. What men of character. Just a couple weeks ago, we read about George Washington and how God preserved him. What a man of character. What a man of character. This week, read about Ben Franklin coming out of Independence Hall. It was July in Philadelphia in the summer. Remember what men dressed like back then. Wool coats, powdered wigs, with no AC. If you ever get to Philadelphia, you need to go into Independence Hall and picture what it was like that July. Men probably dripping wet with sweat. And as Ben Franklin was descending the steps, a woman said, "Well, you men separated. What did you give us? A monarch or a republic?" And he looked at her and said, "A republic, if you can keep it." He was depending on the warriors, the men. He was depending on the men to carry on the tradition of standing up for principle. We've lost it somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the way, the path of least resistance has come in. And in talking with John Paul this week, he says, "You know what troubles me?" He says, "I'm not troubled about how it's going to end." He said, "I already know that. But the between now and then, that's what troubles me. I just don't see it." I saw a general this week humiliated. Brigadier General. And a congresswoman senator says, "Don't call me ma'am. Please call me general." Or call me senator, she said. "Call me senator." And I told somebody, I said, he should have stood up and said, "Ma'am, you tell me you worked hard to get where you are. You didn't work hard. You're a socialist from a socialist state, and you won an election. That's not work. See these stars? That's work. That's work. I put my life on the line. I stood for principle. I took an oath to do what's best for this country. That's work. Don't tell me what you've earned. You've earned nothing. You won an election. I have earned the stars, ma'am." And walked out. That's what he should have done. And iron would have sharpened iron. And one by one, warriors may have stood up and said, "We have earned this right. We have earned it. It's not an entitlement to be principled. You earn it. Character is earned. Reputation is what others think about you. Character is what you really are." People, it's time. It's time, men. Father's Day should remind us this week, as we watch that on TV, a general belittled by someone who has done nothing with their life. And we allow it. Men, it's time. It's time to be examples for our young people, and it's time to stand up for ourselves. It's time to be Abraham's and become the... You may only have one child or two children, or in Aaron's case at this point, no children, but he can still stand up. And iron will sharpen iron. And God's people will be made better and stronger and go forward, not in the glory the world has to have it, but in the power of the living God, like David. You come to me with what the world can give you, sword and spear and shield. I come to you in the name of the living God. Father, that's where we need to be. That's what has to happen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just want to come to you and thank you for the example you set of never giving up, Father, of never quitting. And Father, even when things didn't go the way you wanted them to go, when people do partake of fruit, when people won't get on a boat, when people won't get out of a boat, when people won't accept your son, you didn't give up. You continued. And so, Father, give us that kind of spirit. You've led by example. If there were 10, will you spare the city? And he was too much into himself to hear you saying, "Oh, my child, if there's one, get down to one. Please get down to if there's one in the city, will you spare it?" Father, stop having us have enough faith for 10, but not enough faith to get down to one. We thank you, Father, for not giving up, for sending your son, and Father, for calling us for such a time as this. What an exciting time you've placed us in. Men of principle will stand out like a sore thumb in this metrosexual age. Father, we just thank you that you've called us to be leaders by example. Cease being lemmings and start being leaders. But listen to you when you say, "This is the way, walk in it." Let us not turn to the left or to the right. And Father, if fathers aren't doing it, please bring into these young people in the world today, bring into their lives men who will stand for principle, so they can see the God of all the universe. Accomplish that. Strengthen us, guide us, and use us to your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture tells us, he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." You should know them by now. This is the Lord's declaration. Here are his plans. Plans for your welfare and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Men, when you accept them as his plans, when you accept the fact that it's time to stand and sharpen iron, iron together, iron will sharpen iron. Then, he says, like Abraham, then you will call on me, and then you will come and pray to me, and then I will listen to you. Not, people, until you accept his plans. Why am I going through this? Accept his plan. He's not here to destroy you. He's not here to bring you harm. The devil comes to steal, and destroy and to kill, not God. Then you will come, and then you will pray to me, and then I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart.